Okay, Sverchov Bays and Ephos Eidos, the final paragraph in the section. The Rambam ends off the area with discussing first initially halachos that have to do with conflicting testimonies. So two groups of witnesses contradict each other. Let's say, for instance, one witness from one group came together with one witness from the other group, and then they testify what they called from a different area. Inkan Eidos, that's not considered testimony. Because we can assume for sure one of them is lying, but any of them, even we don't know which one is. Now, if one of these groups comes on its own, and it testifies, and then the other group comes and gives testimony regarding something else, on its own, then we accept each group on its own. Okay, switching gears a little bit. Let's say Reuven produces two promissory notes to Shimon. So one is for, let's say, $1,000, one's for $2,000. Shimon denies what he called both documents. So he refuses both debts. The witnesses to one of these promissory notes is one of the groups whose testimonies contradicted each other. And the witnesses to the second contract, the second promissory note, are the second group. Shimon must pay back the $1,000. Because what we say is that the person who has the promise, you know, has the is in a weaker position, and he makes a shvuah for the rest of the stuff owed. Really, the Rambam surmises that the shvuah this guy makes is holding something that's kadosh because he's acknowledging some of the claim. Because there are two witnesses for Akasha who are testifying on some part of the debt that's owed that he's denying completely. And the statements from that come from his own mouth, so to speak, should not have greater legal authority than those from the acknowledgement of witnesses. Let's say Reuven basically brings Levi to court based on a promissory note. That signed by witnesses, Vedav Kasachas Mishnayim, and witnesses from that first group is from the two groups is signed, or what do you call it, witnesses of the promissory note being signed. Hosi Shimon Shtasheni Alevi, and then Shimon brings another promissory note against Levi, Vedav Kasachnia, right, as well as what do you call it, it's signed by the other group of Vedim, Levi Kobe Mishnayim, Levi denies owing both. Reuven Mishba, now this case, going back to Reuven, Reuven go ahead and have to make Shua Venotel, right, and then ignore and take what's owed to him. Shimon Nishba Venotel, and Shimon also can make Shua and take what's owed to him. Because we can say for sure one of them has a valid claim. This is a rabbinic, what they call it, the Chacham, the one that come along and create this rabbinic institution, what they call it, and it's no different than a case of a person who owns a store who takes a Shua. What do you call it, about a claim that's owed to him by one of his customers. Let's say Reuven sues Shimon based on a promissory note, and the witnesses are from one of those groups. The witnesses are from the first group, and then he produces a promissory note against Levi, right, and the witnesses from the second group. And each one denies it, meaning both Levi and Shimon deny it. So therefore, a person who wants to take money must prove his claim. Since Reuven can't validate either one of the promissory notes, right? Kol shtar b'hen kicheres, each promissory note is considered like nothing. And the two people who the claim is filed against, they go ahead and make the shvuah heses, and they're exempt. When the two groups come together to testify as one, anyone who produces a promissory note with a testimony from the first group, first of the two groups, then he can take the money owed to him. Right? But if he came to take the money afterwards, whether it is him or someone else produces a what it called a document with testimony from the second group, or is it gobabo, you can take money, whether it's from the what it called the first bar or from any other person's trade. Because in this case, we say as if one group of witnesses from the two came on its own and gave testimony. Finally, bringing this entire section of Hilchos Eidos to close, someone brings witnesses, v'nachara edusan, and the testimony is investigated, v'huzmu, and they found to be eidim zomim, v'chazru hebeidim acherim, v'osa taina atzma, and then he brought back other witnesses for the same claim, v'huzmu, right, and they also found to be zomim, v'filim e'akasim, in 100 groups. V'akrach, afterwards, hebeidim acherim, v'osa taina atzma, afterwards he brings different witnesses for the same claim, v'nimsos edus elu achornim, and then we find that last set of witnesses finally are considered to be legit to go ahead and adjudicate the case. So, because even though there's a chazaka at this point that the claim the guy is bringing is based on witnesses who lie, these last witnesses are not assumed to be liars. However, when it comes to a legal document where a protest has been brought forward, and this is the case where what do you call them? Two witnesses came. The Yomer, they say Menush al Zayfo Starze, and they say, for instance, that the plaintiff told us to create this document falsely. Afal pishin iskay mishtar mechosamav. Even if the document is validated based on signatures, ingam lomolam, you cannot go ahead and take money from it as a result. Purely the Rambam surmises sheimbo edei shtar. That the witnesses of the contract come forward, they do, and they testify concerning the signature, then go and vote. You can go ahead and take money as a result of that. That finishes Hilchos Edus, and we'll continue Hilchos Mamrim next time.